What's up, guys? Welcome to the Metamodern Outdoors Podcast. This is Phoenix, and I'm here with the boy Chance Bishop, man. We're here to spit some fire to you guys. It's been a minute.
What's going on, dude? Yeah, it's been forever. We kind of had trouble getting together there for a little bit, and you actually were going on a trip for about, 4 days?
Yeah, I rolled out.
The trip we were talking about last time on the podcast that we were getting ready for, I actually was unable to go.
He came down with a severe case of vaginitis there at the last minute.
Yeah, we weren't, I just wasn't 100% confident in the hip yet, and it had rained a lot that week, so I knew it was going to be high water and fast-moving water, and I didn't know if my hip was ready for it yet, so I took the weekend off, but Phoenix got to go out and adventure a little bit, so let's hear about that.
Yeah, man, so I started off, we went up to a little spot up in Blue Ridge, you know, kind of the whole naming is a little bit nah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, went up to a spot in Blue Ridge.
Keep the secret spot secret.
Yeah, we went up to a spot in Blue Ridge with our buddies, and I'm sure if y'all fish North Georgia, you probably have a very good assumption of where I'm talking about, but went up with some of my buddies. My buddy Zach and his buddy Austin, I think that's his name, maybe. Hunter, sorry, not Austin, Hunter. We went up there, man, and camped out Friday night and just kind of hung around and had a whole bunch of beer and a whole lot of good times, dude. Fished all day Saturday up there. The water was way up.
Pretty muddy.
Not really. I mean, the water was it was still clear, but it was way up. We caught a couple of fish over there, like two or three. Nothing big, but it was just one of those deals. Then they had to leave because he was getting ready for Thanksgiving festivities at his house. So
yeah, kind of a rough week on our planning. Like I know when we were talking about last time on the podcast, I was not thinking like this is going into Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, but it just happened the way it did, man. Yeah. So it worked out though. I wound up. I fished there all day Saturday, and then I was like, all right, I'm kind of done with this spot. Fishing creeks for me, I'm not a multi-day creek fishing guy. I like hitting a spot once and going on with my life. So I was looking around and seeing what I could find and what was fishable or that I thought would be fishable. I talked to a good buddy of mine from many, many moons ago. He told me about this place up in Tennessee, and I was on the fence between going up there or going out to Clayton and fishing around a little bit. So about the time that I was trying to decide whether I wanted to head north or go back east, I got a text from Dad with the stocking report, and they had just stocked Clayton over there. So I was like, all right, man, that's 2.5 hours.
Spot where we almost froze to death.
That's the West Fork over there where we froze to death, man.
It was beautiful spot, though. I want to fish it again so bad.
Dude, even just camping up there, I took a girlfriend of mine up there a couple months ago, and it was gorgeous, dude. We were just sitting up there by the campfire. It's not a far walk to the campsites. Nobody, even when it's crowded up there, it's not crowded.
Dude, and I mean, it's such easy camping, and I mean, like you said, it's beautiful. I mean, one of the prettiest rivers that I remember going to.
Yeah, dude,
definitely top three.
It is really pretty up there. But yeah, so I headed over to Clayton. Set up camp. I didn't get to fish that day. It was already dark by the time I'd rolled up and set everything up and what have you. So I'd loaded down this Arctic 145 with about 60-something beers, and I had a couple bottles of whiskey with me. I just started up a fire and pulled out a Louis L'Amour book, started drinking Texas Ranger on the little – they have picnic tables for you. Started drinking that shit on the picnic table. Woke up the next morning about daylight and got waders on. Threw that shit on. By the way, if you need waders, those new Sims G3 waders.
Ooh. Oh. And the camo.
Boy.
Phoenix went ahead and stepped it up with the camo, too.
Hey, man. You know.
And the boots. The boots are really cool to me. They sold me on the boots with the removable soles. What kind are they again? Corkers?
I think it's Corker, yeah. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they're called Corkers. The Corker Boas is what I have.
Yeah, with a little twist instead of laces.
Those are really nice. I like them. The only problem I had with them was user error. So it's not going to be an issue anymore. But it's different going from – because when we first started fly fishing, man, our waders were $40 neoprene herders.
Yeah, like, dude, I don't even know if I would call them duck hunting waders. They were worse than that. Like, they were just...
These are like borderline, you're working in a place that's really wet and type of shit your employer would buy you waders.
Yeah, I mean, they were just brown with the boots. I mean, they were so cheap that mine, like, so they come folded up in a box. And so the boots are kind of, like, smashed together. up at the ankle, and there were such like shitty waders that mine to this day have still not like rounded out, like they're in the shape of like a triangle from where they've been smashed down.
Can attest, I actually wound up wearing the soles off of mine, so I just had the boot foot and not the actual sole, didn't have any traction. So I wound up having to get some new ones, man.
And dude, I'd say we definitely got our money's worth out of this.
For sure. I mean, dude, when you're getting into fly fishing,
it doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't. I think for the first forever that we fished, I had a $120 TFO combo, some $40 waders, and that was about it. Like, whatever you spent on flies, which is going to be a lot starting out. Flies and leaders is going to cost you a shit ton starting out, because you're going to lose flies, boys. Mm-hmm. Don't get it twisted. You're going to lose the shit out of those things.
Especially if you're fishing in, like, you know, any kind of rivers like we have up here in North Georgia, where, you know, pretty, I feel like almost every river has a pretty decent amount of tree cover and shit to get. Every river has shit to get hung up on the bottom, and, like, I mean, just.
This has got fucking underbrush on the bank that you can catch, trees everywhere.
It's definitely a learning curve.
Yeah, for sure. And
but,
it's something.
But it's something you can pick up. You just got to, I mean, you just got to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it took us. It took me. Luckily, like, I had a little bit of a jump starting just because of my time out in Texas fishing that creek out there. I fished a creek out in Texas called the Hondo Creek. I think I already said that before.
Yeah.
But it was maybe a 20-foot wide, 30-foot wide creek at its largest. It had some, like, retention areas where there used to be a dam way back when, and something happened, the people got pissed off, and they took that bitch out. But hang on one second, I'm trying to. Fuck! That's one of the. Damn it, boys! You can't tie flies and do a podcast at the same time. Doesn't work out. I was trying to tie up some WD-40s and broke my fucking wing casing off. But so the creek out there, where they had dammed it up, there were spots that were like kind of little ponds almost. Not big, they were maybe 20 yards long, 20 yards wide, and it was just like a little channel off the creek. And in those ponds, if you want to call them that, there's two of them. Those things held some fish, boy. So I would get out there.
Is it just like more swampy than?
Yeah.
Slow moving.
There was no current movement there, because there was literally, the dam was still up partially. So it came from the bank. And you could walk out on it, and it was still there, and it blocked all the flow from going through there. So it just kind of got it when it would flood, it would kind of sneak in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So the bass would get up in there. Bass and panfish would get up in there, man, and they were easy pickings with them fucking chartreuse clousers. Dude, I didn't have a fly but a chartreuse clouser, like, my first 3 months fly fishing. I was calling Dad, because out there where I was, the only place that sold flies was Bass Pro Shop in fucking San Antonio, which was, like, a four-hour part out of my day to go out there. And I never wanted to justify the time to do that. I fished there a lot, and then I fished the Guadalupe, Guadalupe River out there. There's some big ass trout in the Guadalupe River. Actually, the biggest trout I've ever caught to date came from the Guadalupe River. Man. Yeah. It was a pig. Yeah, he's like a 20-inch rainbow. Yeah. Dumbass rainbow too. I don't know how I caught that fish. I was sitting there and I was throwing like a crawdad. The shit you throw like when you have no idea what's going on as a trout fisherman.
This, you're like the where you look at the fly and you go, dude, this one looks cool.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm gonna put it on. Yeah. I've done that before.
I would eat it.
Yeah.
That's the mistake I made for the longest time. Which fly do I think looks the coolest?
Yeah.
That shit does not matter at all.
The fish don't care how cool it looks.
They care if you're going to be able to eat that thing or not, son. But, yeah, I fish the Guadalupe and the Hondo a lot. So I kind of got used to fishing. Just creek fishing's a lot different than river fishing to begin with, though. It's a lot. It's weird.
Not really reading water as much. You're just kind of.
No. I mean,
I remember when we used to live in Woodstock, and that was like a park we could get to, and just like walk around along the little river, and it was, I mean, Noonday Creek.
Yeah.
I mean, it was tiny, but like, there's like people riding bikes and walking their dogs and shit. And we're fly fishing, like, and it's literally in the middle of like Woodstock, like a downtown city area. And we're fly fishing, but
we're jumping with fucking little side rails, getting in pocket.
Is going under like bridges, like interstate bridges, and fishing. Like,
it is
a lot different. Like, you're not, I feel like you don't really read the water as much. It's just kind of, you just fish the whole thing.
I feel like if you're trout fishing, you for sure are still reading the water, though. Bass fishing,
but there's no trout in there.
No, fuck no, there's nothing in there. We didn't catch shit there. Like, we had to park at a dog park to get to this place.
Literally,
it's called the Art of Conversation. The whole purpose is an hour free. Come on, bro. You just weak linked us.
I
shout out to Dallas. He got so upset. Yeah, he got so upset the other day. Dallas, we love you, buddy. We're ready for you to be home. He's coming home in a couple of days. December. He's coming home on the 13th. And then, what day are you leaving for Ohio?
I want to say 13th, 15th, something like that.
The 15th, so the 13th is a Thursday, 14th is a Friday, 15th is a Saturday.
Then it would be that Friday, I think.
Okay. Yeah, you're not going to see Dallas at all. Are you going to be going for the whole week?
The weekend.
Oh, then yeah, you'll be back, because we're going to be squirrel hunting.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
I love squirrel hunting.
Dude, we're going, you need to work it out where you just stay off. But we're going to Alabama, and we're taking the canoe. We're going to do some catfishing and squirrel hunting over there, set out some jugs. And then we're going to come back.
Dude, jugging is, like, I feel like jugging's really underrated. Especially, like, a lot of people don't even know about it.
Productive?
Well, one, productivity, but two, like, the anticipation. Because, like, it's different than fishing because it's like you set them out there and then you just fucking leave.
So I'll be back in a little while. Yeah. I got the time.
And like you can come back. Like some people leave them out there for 24 hours and come back the next day, and then it's like you got to go pull them all up and you don't know what's on that. Like so my dad and my little brother went and they're going and they get to, you know, they're pulling them up, and like if the fish is on it, it's usually moving and bobbing up and down, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they get to one, and it's not moving at all. And my little brother's like, man, damn. So he starts pulling it up. It's super slack. And then all of a sudden, it just gets tight. Well, there ended up being, like, a 30-pound catfish on the end of it. So then, like, two jugs later, they get to one, and it's going fucking insane. Just bobbing up and down, moving around, doing all kind of stuff. And he's like, oh, we got another big one. We got another big one. And they pull it up, and it was a brim, like, the size of your pinky. Like, a little tiny one that was just doing work on this floater.
He's putting it in, son. He's like, I ain't waiting for y'all's shit.
But yeah, dude, productive? You can go set out 30 of those things in no time and catch 15 fish easily.
We used to do that all the time. We'd go and get just a little sloshed, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just having
it's
some
like
sauce.
Frog digging. Like you
frog digging is the best in the
you
world.
You just ride around a boat. Yeah, we've done a lot of frog gigging.
That's like probably, besides fly fishing, that's like my one true love. There's nothing better than just getting a little sauced up and not operating a boat, boys. Don't do that. So always be in a canoe. You can just get like a public intoxication for that one.
The best is the trolling motor.
Yeah, but isn't that operating a
dude,
vessel,
did
though?
Did I not just silence this shit? Sorry, guys. I'm having some technical difficulties silencing my phone over here.
I'm trying to
So rude.
Yeah, for real.
God.
But I'm trying to keep the gang here from getting a BWI.
Yeah, don't want any BWIs. We go in a little area where we don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah.
We actually went frog gigging with some recurve bows one time.
Dude, that was a lot of fun, though.
That was an experience.
That was over at Tyler and Dallas' house.
At Tyler and Dallas' house, yeah.
So they're both in the Marines, and they don't live in Georgia anymore, and they don't get to come home often. They grew up on this farm out in Rydell. And we still go over there occasionally whenever they're home. Dude, they got these two farm ponds.
It's so fun out there.
Yeah.
There's so much room. You can just do anything.
It's a blast, man. We used to raise hell over there.
I think last time we went over there, we frog gigged and then somehow ended up coyote hunting.
Yeah, all within like a couple of hours. Yeah. That's usually how it goes with Tyler, though.
Yeah, that was fun. Oh, dude, we got to get back to your trip. We didn't finish. You went to Clayton.
Went to Clayton. So if you've ever fished over there, this is the like the West Fork Chattooga River campground, that area. I've always fished from that south bridge coming off, I guess, the south. The bottom bridge off of War Woman to the north bridge, just like the campground area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was told that thing was stocked the day before I got there. I get up there, man, and I start fishing at, like I said, about 6:30, about daylight, whatever time daylight rose that morning. And I fished till I got to that other bridge up top. It was probably 11, 12 o'clock. I was like, man, that sucks. I didn't get a bite. I didn't even see any fish. I saw one trout the whole time I was fishing, and it was a dead bow laying up on the bank. I was like, this is just trash, man. So
not a good sign either.
Not a good sign. I had... with my job, I get 7 days off in a row every month. So I get to go and just kind of dick off once a month. And that's actually what me and Dallas are going to do. But I was like, man, I got a couple more days left. It's only Sunday. I can... This fly is fucked. I can load up and I can go to Teleco. So...
He's in Tennessee.
Yeah. And that's as much information as you're getting out of me about that place, because that place is a fucking treasure. I loaded up and went up there Sunday night. Got there, and it's a different world up there, man. I probably drove 20, 30 miles off the road before I found a campsite.
So you saw some Amish people?
Yeah, there was this dude on a fucking horse, man. I mean, shout out if you're Amish. I doubt you are because you're listening to a podcast, but...
Yeah.
If you're Amish, there's nothing against you. I was just thoroughly surprised.
Stop. I mean, it's. I think it, just about anybody's going to be shocked if you just randomly run into some Amish
people. Yeah, we don't really have a whole lot of Amish down here in North Georgia. So it was. It's a something I'm not really used to seeing. Homie got on a horse and buggy and rode his ass out of the Piggly Wiggly parking lot. And
the
I
fact did, that it was a Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, the fact that he was in town was what I was most amazed with. I don't know. Homie was about it, though, so right on. Dude, you little Amish man.
Yeah.
But
live your life.
Yeah, can't really hate him for it. I stopped off at a gas station. So Teleco's not a big city at all. It's not. The Cherokee National Forest is up in that area. And that's actually where I was camping, is the Cherokee National Forest, way the fuck up in there. And I stopped off at this little gas station because on the drive in, when you're coming from, like, Northeast Georgia going through Tennessee, there's a vast majority of that drive you do not have cell service. So I couldn't buy my fishing license. I had to stop at the gas station, and I'd been living out of a fucking Jeep for a couple days anyway, so I needed to stop and use the bathroom and do all that fun activities. I bought my fishing license, and it was probably 11 or 12 o'clock. Dude, I did not get in my campground until like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
It took forever to drive out there. I got lost the first time. I was driving down this road, and I was looking at the map, and I was looking at this campground I was trying to get to, and I could have swore I needed to take a ride over this bridge. I take a ride over this bridge and peel off. It, like, crosses over the river, and I peel off up this mountain. I get, like, way up on this mountain. I'm talking, I go, like, 10 miles up this road, and I haven't seen anything. Like, no signs, no nothing. It's just a dirt road going up this mountain. I was like, I probably need to turn around and go back until I can find service and then find another campground. I remember reading about this online, and it says, yeah, dude, it's like 20 miles from when you turn off till you're going to find anything. So I just set out down that main road, and I was like, I'm just going to drive.
Till I find something.
Yeah, because I really didn't have the greatest service. So I really couldn't just navigate, and I'd never been up there. The only way I heard about this was from an old buddy of mine that I used to work with. He's like 50 years old. Like,
yeah.
I just talked to him on the phone before we went up to Blue Ridge. And I was like, what are you doing, man? Because we try and keep in touch as much as we can.
Yeah.
But he told me about that place. He actually has some land up there. We need to get with him here come spring. Whenever he comes back to Georgia, he's got 20 acres up there.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it'd be a good time. He's a heathen. Long story short, I found a campground, got camp set up. I was the only one at the campground, and I fished all day. When I got there, beautiful, beautiful part of the river. So when you're fishing, like, in Teleco, the river is ginormous. Like, it's a big river. It's, like, probably hoot size, but yeah, just kind of, like, real rolling. Wide. It's real narrow where I was, like, not narrow. It's real shallow where I was seeing it. The further you start going up the mountain, the more rapidous that guy gets, yeah. Dude. I was looking at people that were doing, like, the kayaking.
Mm-hmm.
They were going down straight waterfalls, son. I was like, y'all are insane. That is me. Not for me.
Yeah, that ain't me.
Kept on going until it got to real skinny, like, high elevation water. Not high elevation for where we live is maybe 3,000 to 4,000 foot.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, we were pretty good ways up there. And, it was probably 20 foot wide, man, just gorgeous. It was run after run after run, some pools. Beautiful country, though. And I caught a few fish that day. Get up the next Monday morning, fish all day again, same story. I go way up there because there's this little waterfall you can go to. Keep on going, walk down the road. I probably walked 4 or 5 miles from camp, man, just shagging ass up through there. caught one or two fish that day. Not a whole lot. I mean, when you fish wintertime, especially for me, I haven't been fly fishing for trout long enough to be super productive in wintertime.
I would say, especially in the wintertime, it's tough.
That was, we talking about how we did on the last podcast. How many times did we go out in the winter last year before we caught anything?
It was either 4 and we got on the 5th or 5 and we got on the 6th. I mean, it was a lot of trips in over a month.
Yeah.
Of just fishing every single weekend, not catching anything.
Learned how to cast, though, boys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and you figure, I feel like every time you go, you learn a little bit.
You learn either reading the water, learning where the fish are laying. Because, I mean, if you're fishing somewhere and you're not even seeing fish, that's usually not a good sign. Because if you're wading, you're going to spook a fish or two.
Yeah.
Unless you're taking your time. But when you're first starting out, you're going to spook fish.
Mm.
It's going to happen.
I heard a dude the other day, I've been watching some Euronet videos, which is something I want to talk about later. We'll get back to it. But watching some videos and the guy's saying that whenever you just step into a river, you know, if you don't cast, do what? No, I'm good, dude. Thank you. If you just step into the river and you don't cast and you don't really look, you're probably going to miss 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, however many fish, you know, might be holed up right there on the bank. You're going to miss those fish because you're just rushing in. You're not looking. You're not fishing things out. You know, if you're trying to move too fast and you're just, you know, making a cast or two and then walking down the river, you're probably going to spook some fish. So that's a big thing I learned is just being patient.
Yeah.
Fishing. It's hard because you get so, like, I mean, I know for me personally, you just get so excited.
Because you spend all week thinking about it. You're like, especially if you got a fishing buddy you're going with, you're
talking about it.
Because me and Chance, we had a weird situation where we lived together, we worked together, our girlfriends were friends. Like,
I mean, we were together 24/7.
And all we talked about was fly fishing. Yeah. That was it. That was our thing. So we're always talking about, hey, dude, we'd come home and tie flies till fucking 2 a.m. Yeah. And then go to work and talk about fly fishing all day there.
Watching videos.
Yeah, sending each other fucking type loops videos, like whatever we could find. And we would get so amped up about it. Your first hour and a half on the stream, we were just running through the holes.
Well, and you get there and, like, you know, you've learned a little bit about reading water. You know what you should be looking for. And you're going, oh, look at that and that and that and that. And that's just where you're standing right here. What's down there? And you're like, you kind of get in a rush to fish all this good water that you're not actually fishing the good water out.
The best thing to do is to be able to fall in love with just fucking enjoying the scenery.
Just being there.
Yeah. Just being there with a rod in your hand, or even without a rod in your hand, dude. Just being in those. Trout do not live in ugly places.
No.
I have yet to go and fish for trout somewhere that is not absolutely magnificent.
No.
Anywhere you go is going to be some of the most beautiful country you'll see.
Dude, part of the fun is just enjoy. Like when we went to Duke's Creek, I mean, we fished for a couple hours, and then we just set up our hammocks and just chill for an hour or two, not even fishing, just sitting there talking, you know, enjoying the scenery and just being like, dude, this is awesome. Like, just kind of sitting in it and realizing how cool it is that you get to go do this.
Yeah, man, that's the best shit. Duke's Creek's another good fishery. We didn't catch anything that day. That was one of our, like,
I don't think we were ready for that yet, because that's a trophy stream. Like, those are fish that get fished a lot. They see every fly in the book, and they're real skittish, and I don't think we were ready for it.
No, because this was, like, what, November?
Yeah.
Of like, so this is a month and a half after we really started fishing, really.
Yeah.
It was, like, a month and a half after I started fishing for trout, really.
Yeah. And it was early. Yeah. I don't think we're ready for it. It'd be fun to go back, though.
It would. I had the opportunity to the other day, but I just didn't. We need to schedule a trip.
Let's talk about our new setups we got. We each got a new setup last week, too.
Oh, yeah, so I rocked that new...
Phoenix got some good shit.
That new 2019 Reddington Butterstick. I got the 7.64 weight.
Beautiful rod.
Dude, they're
sexy.
Talk
about good looking.
It's got that retro look to it, man. It's just...
And the wrappings on the eyelets and stuff just looks
It's brown, orange, and yellow, and it's a white rod blank. Dude, it's gorgeous.
Like creamy. Oh, it looks good.
It's a gorgeous rod. It's it feels great in my hands. Fiberglass. It feels great casting. The one thing I will say that I did, so I paired it with the Reddington 045, just their reel. That reel is solid. I mean, it's a click and paw like tight reel, so there's not a drag system on it. I paired it with 5-weight Rio Golden Touch, I think is what I put on it. I didn't like the 4-weight line on that rod. It's different. I've never fished with a slow action rod at all. I've always fished super fast action rods. That's just what I've fished with. And that slow action for me, I couldn't get my line to roll over. We went out and shout out to Fish Hawk, by the way.
Yeah, shout out to Fish Hawk. Those dude trees, that's right.
That is a good place. I mean, Cojuto, we still love you.
I mean, yes. Yeah.
Y'all are our hometown shop, but y'all didn't have Reddington, so not you didn't have the butter stick. I had to go elsewhere. I fell in love with looks.
And we do like shopping locally. I mean, you could have just ordered online, but it's cool to go and have the experience. Go in there and meet those guys, and then you know, we found out, met some really cool dudes and learned a little bit.
That's a cool shop. That's a cool shop down there.
A lot more old heads than Cojuto, so there's a lot of experience. And
yeah, because, I mean, Garner and Connor and even Drew and Andy, I mean, Andy's an old head up there. They're all, at Cojuto, dude, they're solid guys. Everyone great
dudes. And that's what makes it fun, too. They're so young and closer to our age.
Mm-hmm.
But you can really learn a lot from the old heads.
Yeah, for sure. But anyway, so I got that Reddington setup. It's a gorgeous setup, man, and I fished the hell out of it for about 4 days. Love it. Cast great. I mean, pinpoint accuracy. For small streams, you can't beat it. Yeah. I mean, that's my new go-to.
How long is it?
7.6.
7.6.
I don't know how you're going to do with that 5.9. Chance picked up a 5.9.
I went a little more budget setup. I went to Cabela's, and I can't remember the name of the rod right now, but it's a 5.9 3-weight. A rod shorter than me. It's kind of weird. But yeah, 5.9 3-weight. I also went with the Reddington Zero, 2.5 or 2.3, I think. Super cool reel. Like, it looks really good, really clean, and that little click and paw drag system is pretty sweet. Like, I'm ready to fish with that. I'm excited to get a fish to the reel, maybe.
It is fun. I didn't get a fish to the reel up there, but what you hope it'll be. Those light rods are just fun in general.
Dude, I can't wait to fish this little 3-weight. But, you know, cast it out in the yard. You know, I took it out probably every day and cast it for 20 minutes or so. And I'm used to slow action rods. My first ever rod that was gifted to me was a slow action 4 or 5 weight. So I'm used to it. You know, I'm used to loading it up real slow and just kind of popping it out there. And I like this little 5-weight, but I'm ready. You know, you really don't know T-fish with it.
Yeah.
I'm ready to fish with it. But
it's the slow weight. So the slow action, if you haven't fished with them, if you've only fished with fast action rods, especially if you're a saltwater guy, you're throwing 6s and 8s and 10s.
The timing.
And you don't really use your shoulder. Because, I mean, with those fast action 6s and 8s and 10s, you are beating the shit out of that rod, man.
You're not going to get sore throwing a 3-weight.
No, it's not going to happen. Or that 4-weight that I got. Because it's all forearm and wrist. That's all it is,
You just kind of keep your elbow tucked.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. Like, there's a pin going through your ribs, and then just flick it.
Because all you got to do is turn it over and get it out there. But yeah, dude, I mean, I'm excited about it. I got the Rio InTouch Golds, you know, same line, same reel. We just went with different rods. And, you know, I like the 5.9. It's kind of unique. I've never seen a fly rod that short. I think it's cool, especially for got some action going on in the neighborhood, cops. But, but you know, it's kind of unique, and I'm just excited to try it and see how the short rod life is, which is kind of bad timing that right after I got this rod, got into Euro nymphing, and I'm excited to try it. And, you know, you're a nymphing, you want a really long rod so you can kind of hold it up and not suspend, but kind of guide those flies through the runs.
Yeah,
but,
and on the next episode of Meta Modern Podcast, Chance is coming in with a 10.6 Helios 3.
Yeah, look out for it. I mean, your nymphing's so interesting to me because we fished with indicators and nymphs and, you know, maybe a two-fly nymph rig with an indicator, and we've had success. I mean, I caught my first fish with an indicator, and, you know, we've kind of lit it up with indicators at times, but the way you can get those flies to drift when you're Euro nymphing, so I feel like it's so much more natural because you don't have that drag, because when you're fishing with the indicator, you have the drag of the indicator on the surface, and then you have to have split shots, so you have the drag of the split shot, and then you have your flies, and it's kind of, you got all these hinge points when you're Euro nymphing, you've got direct connection to your anchor fly, and you can guide that down, you have your other flaws drifting behind it. But
I imagine, I don't know shit about your nymphing, guys. I'm going to be real with you. I haven't watched shit on it. I mean, I know what your nymphing is. I've seen it, but I don't know shit about it.
And the intricacies.
Yeah. I would imagine, though, just knowing what I know about it, like seeing it, it's probably going to be a lot like Tinkara. Super long ride, super low drag, getting just dead, like, drag for your dress. Yeah.
It, you know, and the indicator that you use, they call it a cider, and it's really just a really fluorescent or, you know, just something you can obviously see on your leader. You know, I've built my own leaders for it, and I just use mono, you know, just kind of, I tapered it down, went from 20 to 15 to 12, and then a tippet ring, and I'll have some tippet coming off of that. But that's, it's just really cool to me, because you can still have an indicator, but you don't have the drag of an indicator.
Yeah.
And I feel like it, you know, it, if nothing else, the cider may be something that I kind of keep with me, because, you know, I'm using mono. It's not like it's an opaque thing that might spook the fish. You know, it's probably not as good as some clear line or whatever. But
dude, have you seen that clear fly line?
No, I haven't.
There's a company. I don't remember who it was. I saw it the other day. They make clear fly line.
That's pretty cool. I've never seen
it. It is pretty
that.
Cool.
I like it.
That, I mean, it was. I was like, what is that? Like, yeah. Is that leader?
Dude, I feel like there's so much new stuff that comes out. You know, when it comes to fly fishing, there's rods and reels and lines and leaders and flies
and low fly
materials. Oh dude, I was gonna get to that, because I want the listeners to hit us up, comment, DM us, whatever. We want you guys to look up low fly. Is it low fly reels? It's Unreal Fly Fishing is their slogan.
Yeah.
It's low fly reels or low fly rods.
LOFLI. You'll find it.
Low fly. They're on Instagram. They just released their Kickstarter, and it's fly fishing, and instead of having a reel, you just have a spool, and you can kind of
hand line it,
and it's unique. I've never seen anything like it. It looks pretty cool to me. They're selling it in a 6'6" weight, which I'm not a big fan of. You know, I don't really know when you would need a 6'6" weight, but if they made a 6'4" weight or 6'3" weight, I'd be all about it. But I'm just curious to see what people in the community think about it, and I mean, I guess we'll see with how much money he raises on his Kickstarter.
Yeah. And it's going to be a while. I was looking at his timeline, and they're not shipping out till like May.
Yeah.
So
we got a couple months.
Yeah, months and months. I've talked to the guy that started it, and he's about it. He's about it. I mean, it's an interesting take. It's a 4-piece rod. So backpackers, if you're wanting something that's not straight up Tinkara.
Yeah, if you want to be able to get out as much line as you want, like fly fishing, but you're still connected to that fish directly with
you can fight the fish. It's got guides. It's got 50-foot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a normal rod. It's just got a spool instead of a reel.
Yeah, it connects to like the butt. He's got this cool system he's got made up for it, and I mean, super innovative idea, I think.
I'm interested to see how people take it, and you know, how people feel about it.
Yeah. It'll probably be similar to the Tinkara thing.
You're going to love it or hate it. It's own sub-community.
You will love it or hate it, because that's how people are with Tinkara. Like, dude, homeboy that we ran into down there, he's like, you can look up so-and-so for my impressions on Tinkara.
Yeah.
Me, man, Tinkara for me, I'm not the Tinkara guy, right? Like, I love fishing with Tinkara rods just because it's easy.
Yeah.
Wintertime, if I'm Smalls Creek fishing wintertime, dude, Tinkara rods are the move. Yeah. I can put on some gloves. I ain't got to worry about it. I'm not stripping.
Managing line.
Nothing, dude. I'm just sitting there throwing that line out there, waiting until it drifts back up. It's easy. It's so easy. If you're trying to get kids into it, whatever. That's the move for sure. But I'm not the one fly, we're going to go study in Japan how to do this shit guy. Like, I definitely love Western fly fishing just because I like throwing some bomb casts with some heavy streamers out there. That's my gig. You can, then you're a nymphing, have it, bro. I'm a streamer guy. Just a straight up streamer junkie.
Yeah, streamers are definitely fine. We talked about on the first podcast, streamers, they got a special place in my heart.
Dude, I love those things.
But
I love streamers to the point where if I lived somewhere where I didn't have to tie fucking nymphs, I would never tie another nymph in my life. I hate tying nymphs.
Yeah, I've just been so about tying nymphs. Like, they're so interesting to me, all the variations and, you know, guys' guesses at what makes a fly work. You know, I've spent a lot of time lately looking at a lot of hotspot flies. Yeah. And a guy saying, I've tied this fly without a hotspot and I can't catch anything on it, or, you know, I just don't catch as many fish. And then you throw just a little red collar on it right behind a bead or something, you know, just a little thin slice of some red thread, and all of a sudden this is a new go-to favorite pattern.
Yeah.
It's just so, I don't know, it's just the small changes in flies and nymphs that make them so much better is crazy to me.
That is true.
Just trying to make something buggy.
Yeah. At the end of the day, man, it's all about...
What do you like?
And the enjoyment you get out of catching something off a fly that you tied is going to beat anything else anyway. I remember the first time I hooked up with a fish on the trout nug on the hooch.
Yeah.
I was sold.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not doing anything else. Dude, imagine Charlie. His first trout on a fly rod came off of a fly he tied himself.
Yeah, that's crazy. Probably a very unique experience, I would expect.
He was about it, man. He tied a woolly booger in olive and smacked it, dude. We were over there at Smith's. They've been catching some pigs over there.
Yeah, I've seen.
Some straight up pigs. But yeah. So, me and you are actually supposed to go fishing this next weekend.
Yeah, the 7th? I think it starts on the 7th.
Yeah, that's next weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta figure out where we're going.
Yeah, what we're gonna do. Maybe we'll plan this one out a little bit better than our past trips. It's gonna be cold, dude.
Really cold?
Not excited about that.
Oh, I looked up for the trip that we're not gonna mention yet to the Great Beyond that we were talking about last night.
Mm.
The low, average low in April, 19 degrees. High, 49.
In April.
It doesn't really warm up till June.
Damn.
But supposedly spring fishing there is shit hot, so.
Yeah.
That's going to be a surprise.
That's surprising because it's not.
That'll be
it's
after.
It's not finalized, it's not official, but we're serious about it. We just got to do some planning. Yeah. This is definitely one that's going to take a lot of planning.
Yeah, a lot of planning, a lot of resources. CB's getting a camera here.
Let's talk about some stuff we got upcoming.
Yeah, he's getting a camera.
I've got a camera on the way, a Canon mirrorless, you know, really nice camera. I got a close-up kit that's coming with it, so we can get you guys some fly time videos. Show you guys our favorite flies, but then it also does some 4K video, and we're going to get out on the stream with it. We've got that camera. I got another wide angle camera, so we can kind of get some bigger views of stuff, and get you guys some content. Tell us what you want to see. You know, if you want to see some fly time videos, if you want to see some fishing videos, if you want to see some highlight reels of just us catching fish, and you don't want to see a whole, you know, the whole trip, the whole story of the trip, we can get you guys some, we can cut some of that up and get that to you guys. But, you know, we just want you guys to get involved. Let us know what you want.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're trying to get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah, I mean, we're about, after we finish this podcast, we're going to sit down and kind of hash out our goals for 2019 and kind of lay a road path out to accomplish those goals. And, we just really want to spread the word, spread the vibes.
And by any means, if you guys are in Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama,
I'd say anywhere within 8 hours of Atlanta, that's easy.
Dude,
if you're within 8 hours of Atlanta, let us know, dude. We want to come fishing with you guys.
We'll come fishing with us. We'll take you. We don't have we have no secret spots. Come with us, man.
Now, yeah, if you're visiting and you want to fish with us, let us know. I mean, We truly love fly fishing and want to make fly fishing better and get more people exposed to how it really is. Because it's not as, I know we said it before, but it's not as, like, elitist as most people think.
No, it's not all Orvis videos, guys. Yeah. Like, it's not.
I mean, it's a bunch of just good dudes that like hanging out, drinking beer, and catching fish.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about, man. And I want to share that with as many people as I can.
And I know there's some cool people out there, man. We see you guys on Instagram. We follow a lot of people back, and there's a lot of cool people, and we want to meet them.
Yeah. So. We haven't forgot about the giveaway, by the way.
We haven't forgot about a giveaway.
We're tying some of the box that we're going to use actually got a little broke. So, so we're still working on it.
Yeah.
Just be patient. It'll be coming up here soon, man. Life happens, you know, and right now we're just trying to focus on getting as much content as we can and spending as much time on the water as we can.
Yeah, and just kind of expanding our knowledge and getting ready for a big push in 2019.
Yeah, that's dude, the craziest thing about fly fishing is when you think you know some shit, you don't know shit.
It is a lifelong journey.
The
more you learn, the more you find out that you didn't know.
What's Brian Callen say? When you think you're a black belt, you're a white belt.
Yeah, as soon as you think you're a black belt, you're a white belt.
That's how it is. That's the truth, though.
And the best way to go about it and what I've seen with a lot of guys is just having a, you know, what they call a white belt mentality. Like, you're not coming in going, I'm the biggest, baddest dude here. I know the most. You're not going to learn. You're not going to get better. And probably not going to make a whole lot of friends like that. But if you come in with a white belt mentality saying, you know, I know a little bit. I'm not the best at this. I know I'm not the best at this. And I just want to get better.
I just want to do it. Like, I just want to
I just want to participate.
This has been, fly fishing has been probably the most life-altering journey that I've gone down. And shit, I moved halfway across the country to be a hunting guide, professionally. And this is something I just do dicking off, and it's changed everything for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's something I fell in love with quickly and
fucking madly.
Haven't lost it since.
Madly, man. It's a crazy thing, this fly fishing game. It's a lifelong journey, and you get out of it what you put into it, for sure.
For sure.
Right on, Gus. This is I don't even know what episode this is. This is 5.
I think this is 5. Yeah.
See, this is episode 5 or 6. You'll figure it out by the title, because I'm not 100% sure. But right on. We'll be coming back to you guys here hopefully next week or so with another episode, trying to get everything hashed out and getting ready for that trip.
Maybe next week we'll have the details finalized for our trip coming up. Let you guys know.
Oh, yeah. All right, man. Well, tight lines, good vibes, guys. See you guys next week.
Peace.